Hello, Naked Peeps, and you're listening to the Naked Nerd Podcast. I am JC, the Naked Nerd, coming to you live and nude. I just wanted to try that out, but let's see how that goes. But just wanted to say hello to everyone. Welcome to the podcast for those new time listeners, and thank you for the listeners who still listen to this podcast. I'm surprised I've lasted this long. Usually I've, with podcasts, I usually last about a year or two, but wow, this has lasted quite a long time now. Well done. But I hope that you're all doing well. A huge shout out to everyone in the Nature's community, especially those, in my home country of Australia. Hope you're all doing well. Hope the weather hasn't been too harsh for you. It has been a bit of a mixed season this summer, with rains, fires, cyclones, floods, just all the weather that is mixed all together. Plus, it's very humid at the moment. Two different words, two different meanings, but what I was trying to say is that it's been very humid, very steamy, I might add. You think the rain would cool the weather down, but no, it just makes things 100 times hotter. But that is just the way it is at the moment here in Australia, because we are in summer. And summer is also a bit of a wet season. Not usually, but because we've had a number of years of drought, it looks like all the rain that we missed out on is just coming right here, right now. But I hope that you're all doing well despite the weather. Let's get on with the show, because I like to talk to you guys a little bit about the nudie and a little bit about the nerdy. But let's get on with the nerdy. So last year was the 60th anniversary of the series known as Doctor Who, my favourite sci-fi show. On November 21st, 1963, Doctor Who first aired on the BBC. Now, I've mentioned this many a time, but did you know that the episode first aired on the same day that JFK was assassinated? Now, this is not a fun fact, but an interesting one, because initially, because of the assassination, the ratings for the first episode were quite low, because everyone was basically mourning the loss of JFK, or just really confused as to why it happened. But it was because of this that the first episode ended up having a bit of a redo for the pilot, and both the first and second episode were aired the following week. But it initially wasn't going to continue on because of what seemed to be low ratings, but it all started to change and became very popular, particularly with the villain, or one of the villains of the Doctor Who series, known as the Daleks. It became quite popular that William Hartnell, the man who would become known as the first Doctor at the time, would reprise his role for another 2 more years, 3 years in total. Unfortunately, he could only last those couple of years due to his issues with his own health. So that left the task of making sure that the show continued, but without William Hartnell. Instead, what the writers and producers ended up doing was thinking about who could replace Hartnell. And they ended up going with Patrick Troughton, who was very popular at the time. Now, Patrick Troughton did replace William Hartnell by 1966-1967. Now, here is the thing. They were worried about what people's reactions would be to all of a sudden having Patrick Troughton as a doctor. But the writers ended up coming up with a really fantastic idea. But at the time, nothing like this would have happened. Or at least nothing like this would have happened in any other TV series. They would just say something along the lines of, today's portrayal of this person is being played by da 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 da. But they provided with one of the best twists and devices that would lead the show to going on for the next 60 years. And that twist is the action known as, what was known at the time as renewal. But later on, it would be dubbed regeneration, which makes sense because it is the Doctor regenerating into another person, which would explain why he will change his appearance. Now, this plot device has been used as a great means to give the actor who plays the Doctor a bit of a break, but it has led to some interesting stories, including the 50th anniversary, as well as many different episodes that I cannot tell you how much I love. But the show has lasted for so long, even though there was a bit of a break during the 90s, where the Seventh Doctor, in terms of his appearance, would return in 1996. Don't quote me on that. But his untimely end as the Seventh Doctor would introduce Paul McGann as the Eighth Doctor. However, a little known fact, so Paul McGann was meant to lead an Americanized version of Doctor Who and make Doctor Who popular. However, it didn't quite take off as it well as it should have. But it wasn't the untimely end for Paul McGann. Paul McGann ended up recording audio episodes for Big Finish, who ended up taking over a lot of the gaps for Doctor Who, with the reprisal of many classic Doctors, including Tom Baker as the fourth, Peter Davison as the fifth, Colin Baker as the sixth, and obviously Sylvester McCoy as the seventh. But together, they've been able to create multiple different episodes, which I would highly recommend if you are a Whovian. No, and that's not a group of people who like vacuuming. It's for people who love Doctor Who. And I, again, would wholeheartedly recommend these particular audio episodes if you feel like listening to something with a bit of story and something to pass time. But last year was the 60th anniversary, which provided with not one, but three 60th anniversary specials. Though to be fair, there were a three-part special. But regardless, for those of you who have not been up to date with the Doctor Who, you need to check them out. But I will say there is going to be spoilers throughout the next few minutes. So if you haven't watched the latest episodes and don't want to hear me talk about the episodes, please fast forward. Yes, that is a term now. An old term, but a good term. So, let's recap back to the last episode that had Jodie Whittaker as the 13th Doctor. So her doctor ended up being in a situation where she had to face her biggest enemies, the Cybermen, or the Cyber Time Lords, the Daleks and the Master himself. Now, you would think that the Doctor would be able to withstand the forces of these three enemies combined, but it does lead to some interesting complications with the return of companions, Tegan and Ace, one of my favorite companions and one of my first companions that I saw on TV, even though I was a little child at the time. But nevertheless, let's keep it going. So, all these different things started to occur. Tegan received a gift in quotation marks from the Doctor, which was a miniaturized rusty Cyberman, which she found odd, given that she knows how the Doctor would have felt in terms of Tegan seeing a Cyberman. We also get reintroduced to Ace, who is currently working for UNIT because of some mysterious graffiti on paintings. We also get reintroduced to Kate Lethbridge-Stewart, or Kate Stewart, from UNIT. And we also get reintroduced to the current team that are with the Doctor, Yaz and Dan, who have recently returned from a train heist where the Cybermen, now under the control of the Master who originally created them, for those of you who did not know that, what at first looks like a kidnapping turns out to be something very, very different entirely. But the Doctor gets an emergency call from Earth, where all these different things are happening. There appears to be a planet above the Earth in the early 20th century, during World War I. There also seems to be an issue with the Daleks, with volcanic activity waiting to tear the Earth apart. And then there's the Master playing up to his tricks again. Now, this all leads to a confrontation with all three other villains against the Doctor, where it was the Master's plan to get the Doctor to regenerate into him. Now, this leads to some lovely cameos by previous Doctors, including Peter Davison, Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, and Paul McGann, who all managed to make me feel like a little kid again, seeing their faces again. Oh, and also David Bradbury, who reprised his role as the first Doctor in scene as Twice Upon a Time. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. So, long story short, the Doctor ends up being regenerated into the Master. But it is not all over Red Rover. Yaz, with the help of other characters, gets the Doctor back, and the Master's plan is no more. He's forced back into his old body, and the Doctor, with her, with such grace and such humility, comes up with a plan to stop everything happening. Unfortunately, the Master has one final laugh, where he goes, "If I can't be the Doctor, then you can't either." And then, unfortunately, it leads to Jodie Whittaker's Doctor to regenerate. But the regeneration itself has a bit of a twist, and this was a twist I personally was not expecting. The return of David Tennant, now playing the 14th Doctor. And that is where the context of the 60th anniversary begins. Now,
It is the first part known as the meep. So the meep starts off with David Tennant as the 14th Doctor returning to London, where he first comes across someone carrying some boxes. But it wasn't just any old person or random person by any chance. It was Donna. Now, for those of you who are unaware of Donna Noble, she is one of the last companions that the 10th Doctor, also played by David Tennant, to have on the show. But in order to save Donna from a term that is being coined the Meta Crisis, where Donna Noble took the mind of the Doctor and used his knowledge to do certain things, the Doctor had to wipe her memory. But memories of the Doctor and his behavior started to bleed through, and it led to all sorts of different complications. One person I was expecting to see in this particular episode was Bernard Cribbins, who played a Wilf on Doctor Who many years ago. However, he would not appear for at least one more episode. But here's a complication. So, a rocket lands on planet Earth in London. And what we first believed to be an invasion turns out to be the recapturing of a creature known as the Meep, voiced by Miriam Margolyes, who, for those of you who do not know, has played many characters, including Professor Sprout in Harry Potter, the nurse from Romeo plus Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann version. But the Meep seems to be a creature of many, many contradictions. First to be believed as a creature in danger, but end up being not a creature in danger, but rather a creature that has caused so much issue, not only for the universe, but currently for the Doctor and for planet Earth. Now, this leads to a whole bunch of things happening, including Donna returning into her metacrisis form. Also, just to add, and this is part of the spoiler, Donna is now with a teenage child, a transgender child, I might add, who goes by the name of Rose. For those who don't know, the name Rose should be a bit familiar, as it is a nod to Rose Tyler, the Ninth Doctor's first companion, who ended up also being the companion of the 10th Doctor. Now, what to add to that? Oh yes. Now, this actually does come up, not in a way that feels like it's being forced, but in a way that actually adds value to the story. And it was amazing how they did it, how they used Rose to help understand that Donna was no longer alone in having to deal with the power of the Meta Crisis. That the actual gift also passed down to Rose. Now, in itself, was an episode that I could have just been proud of if it was just the 60th anniversary. But I loved how they didn't steer away from certain topics, particularly
The topic of being different. Unfortunately, the episode itself got a lot of backlash from particular transphobic people who didn't understand why such a character existed. And the BBC made a very, very a good point where Doctor Who has always challenged the boundaries of society's norms, and it has always done that. Now, if you believe in a character that can change their faces, surely you should be able to deal with a person who is transgender. But that aside, I felt that that episode really got things to spark up a bit of conversation, and also provided with some interesting theories. But moving on to the second part of the 60th anniversary, Blue Yonder. So, the 14th Doctor and Donald Noble end up on the spaceship at the edge of the universe. Donna's fault because she ended up accidentally throwing coffee onto the TARDIS console. And what seems to be an abandoned ship turns out to be abandoned for a very good reason, because there was something out there that was trying to mimic life, that was trying to give life a chance, but not necessarily for the right reasons. And together with the Doctor and Donna, they end up fighting against themselves in a weird twist of events. Now, I believe that this episode was very much a weird episode, and it got me thinking about other episodes like Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, which is a Matt Smith episode. And I found it really, really interesting because it really felt like classic Doctor Who, where all this weird stuff was happening and it was very ominous, but it led to a very, very heartwarming ending where we got to see Bernard Cribbins play Wilf for the very last time. Not so fun fact, unfortunately, Bernard Cribbins did not survive to be able to do the rest of his intended episode. Though it was really sad. I'm glad that they gave Wilf a final sending that wasn't necessarily one that led to Wilf's character's death, but I believe that will probably be omitted in another season, or maybe another couple of seasons, who knows. But this led to the giggle, the final part of the 60th anniversary. The giggle sees the return of a character that I didn't think would return anytime soon. I actually thought the character that Neil Patrick Harris was going to play was going to be the Valeyard, which was the alternate version of the Doctor from another universe. But Neil Patrick Harris ended up playing the Celestial Toymaker, a villain that has not been seen on screen since the 1960s, in which the Doctor, the first Doctor, fought him in another universe, or rather, underneath the universe. Now, this all pans out by one of the inventors of television, his assistant going to this toy shop and purchasing a toy known as Sooky Bill. And it led to such a twist of adventures and issues coming about. But Neil Patrick Harris's rendition of the Toy Maker was not the only thing to come about from this episode. We also saw the return of Kate Stewart once again, as she is the head of unit, but also the return of Mel, who was last seen in the previous Doctor's final episode with the group that was formed by Graham and the people who experienced the Doctor. But previous to that, the last time Mel was seen was in Sylvester McCoy's first season, in his version of the Doctor, when she was traveling with Solomon Glitz, who whose character and the actor playing Solomon Glitz died not too long ago. But that being said, the Celestial Toy Maker causes such a ruckus, such problem to planet Earth, where he's made it that everyone thinks they're right. And this actually brings on quite a bit of social commentary, particularly in the case of the Toy Maker, who brings up quite interesting points where everyone wants to cancel, where everyone wants to be right, where everyone has to have their opinion. And not everyone needs to do that, but he made it that the so that planet Earth would tear itself apart and ensure that everyone was right, which end up creating, in the words of the 14th Doctor, a losing game. This also led to the 14th Doctor playing two games with the Toy Maker, the last of which leading to the regeneration of the Doctor. But the regeneration itself had its own twist. Now, for those of you who don't know how regeneration works, prior to the 60th anniversary, so what would happen is that the Doctor would be replaced by the face of the new actor playing the new Doctor. But in a twist of things, this regeneration became a bi-generation, in which the Doctor, played by David Tennant, would grow with the 15th Doctor, played by Gukti Gatwa, who I must say was the perfect choice. If you've seen him in the Barbie movie and Sex Education on Netflix, you will know this actor quite well, and I would say is the perfect choice. Now, back to the actual storyline. The last game ended up being played was a game of catch, in which the Toy Maker lost. But it also led to a conversation about understanding why David Tennant's face returned as the 14th Doctor. And it turns out that it's been understood that the Doctor is running on fumes in terms of him dealing with his anger, his sadness, and being able to actually deal with the things that have happened to him and around him. And so, with the Doctor being split in two, you would think that the Doctor just stays put with Donna, and he does, but he is heartbroken, realizing that the TARDIS might have to go with his new version of himself. But another twist of things, the
15th Doctor ended up using the last bit of energy of the Toymaker to claim his prize, a TARDIS of his own. Now, how this will play into future storylines, I don't know, but I would like to hazard a guess that it would lead to bigger multi-Doctor stories, and I can't wait for that. But what are your thoughts on the 60th anniversary specials? Did you love it? Did you like it? I myself truly loved it, and for Hebrians that are really, really loving Doctor Who to the nth degree, I would highly recommend it. The only other thing I would also add is that the Christmas special I loved as well, but I'm not going to do a review on it because that will also take a while. But anyway, let's focus less on the nerdy and more on the nudie. So, what has been happening in the naturist community? Well, I recently had a bit of a chat with President of the Australian Naturist Federation, Mick, who has been working tirelessly to promote a couple of different things for the naturist community. One of them, and hopefully we'll get to talk about this soon, and hopefully I'll get to interview Mick very soon about this, is the promotion of the Safe Beaches Initiative. Now, across the naturist community, all around the world, there still tends to be people who go to these nude-friendly and family-friendly places and end up going there for the wrong reasons. So, in order to combat a potential harassment and to combat particular behaviors that are not tolerated within the native community, the ANF have provided are going to provide a whistle, a special whistle to be used as a means to deter particular people who may not necessarily be of the nature's community and are there for the wrong reasons. Now, it's not that if you see a person that you don't like, the whistle is being blown. It's more that if they are displaying behaviors that are not necessarily welcome in the nature's community, including things like perving, excessive perving, not respecting the private space of those who are simply just relaxing and enjoying their day, or promoting any sort of unwanted sexual activity that may be unsafe and quite dangerous. Now, with this initiative, hopefully it will deter people from doing the wrong thing and actually provide a sense of community to those who are doing the right thing, and making sure that we stick together. Now, I believe that this initiative is actually quite important because there's been times, and I've spoken about this to certain people, there's been times where I have personally not felt safe going alone to news beaches because I've had to deal with certain people, not necessarily there for the right reasons, and they just don't understand the meaning of the word no. I personally think that this is actually going to be quite helpful, and if we are able to keep the beaches safe, it allows us to be connected to the community. And speaking of other things that connect to the community, one of the things that the ANF have been doing for the last few years has been the pub night, the fortnightly pub night via Zoom, where people from across the nation have been able to sit down for a couple of hours and actually discuss how life has been going. And I must say, it's been an interesting activity to actually be a part of because it has got me connected with so many different people from around the nation. Well, it has mainly been used by a lot of older members of the Nature's community. There have been some younger members as well, but I will say that it is something that I would personally recommend people attending. So, if you are a member of the ANF, the Australian Nature's Federation, please keep in mind of this every fortnight. Now, the next pub night isn't this Friday, but next Friday. But please, please, please make sure that if you are a member, to check the calendar. If you're not a member, unfortunately, these pub nights are members only, but there will be the occasional open-ended Zoom pub night from time to time. But if you want to be able to be a part of it, please make sure that you are liking the Facebook page for the Australian Nature's Federation and make sure they are up to date with their socials as well. Now, hopefully, I can get more info on that for you guys in the next episode. But in terms of being naked, I want everyone just to take a moment, whether it is having a shower or just laying down on the couch, take a moment and feel good about yourself because, you are in charge of your body, and you are the only one who gets to decide whether you feel good or not. But I hope that you do choose to feel good about yourself because it is your body. And remember, as one of my mantras, it is okay for your body to look like this. And don't let anyone tell you differently. The only caveat to that is, unless you have a medical professional who is directly working with you and saying the contrary, then follow their particular directions. But if you're getting opinions from people passing by saying that you got to do this, 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 and this, then ignore them completely because they may not necessarily have the best interest for you. Because at the end of the day, we are all beautiful people. We may be ordinary people, to quote John Legend to to a fault. To quote John Legend, we are ordinary people. But I don't know how the rest of that song goes. Anyway, we are all beautiful people. We all have a body, and we need to be able to share that love for the body. And speaking of, get down to your local nude beach once in a while. Go and visit your closest nature's resort or club, and just be happy about the way you look, everyone. But I will let you go. Now, remember, everyone, to take care, especially for those of you in Australia. Make sure that you drink plenty of water and keep yourself hydrated during the heat. Make sure that if you are experiencing damaging weather issues, that you are taking care of yourselves. But remember to live nude and be yourself. And this is JC, the Naked Nerd, signing off.